to fix the worst mistake of their lives. Verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus who you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? How can we fix this unforgivable mistake? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. There is a path, there is a way to make things right. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. And I want to preach for a few minutes this morning from this title, It's Time. Look at your neighbor and tell them, it's time. It's about time. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today as we press on through the pandemic that is hanging on much longer than anybody thought that would, as we all are recovering from our infections and viral infections of this COVID, and among the other normal things that we face, as we face aging and cancers and quarantines and masks, and as we face the uncertainty of our times, we press on to know you, to grow closer to you. Teach us as a church what we need to learn during this time, and let our lives be changed and transformed so that we can rise up as the church to meet the challenges for this hour. Let us not be the weak link in the chain of the history of the church, but let us carry the next generation forward. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
It's time. Peter preached to them and he said to them, Jesus wasn't just a man or even just a prophet. You didn't just crucify another guy on the street. You didn't just crucify another prophet like you killed all the other prophets. But he was more. He was even more than Lord. He was the Christ. He was the anointed Messiah. They had crucified the one God sent to deliver them from their sins and usher in the kingdom of heaven. What do you do? Jesus warned them. He said, all blasphemies and sins shall be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven in this life or the life to come. What do you do when you have turned your back on the only option or opportunity, when you've turned your back on the only way to be saved? What hope is there for you after that? They had crucified him, and sure, he had resurrected, as Peter preached to them. Yes, he had ascended, but the Jews understood, as Peter preached to them, they understood better than anyone the dire situation they were in. If the Messiah had indeed arrived and been rejected and been killed and been crucified and resurrected and indeed had been taken up into heaven, then they had missed the most pivotal moment in Jewish history. And they had grossly mishandled the most important person that ever walked the shores of Galilee. The Lord who said to David in his prophetic song, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool, had come and gone, and they were so blinded by lies and sin and so dense with spiritual darkness that they had been oblivious. I wonder how many times, if we could go back and rewind the story of our lives. We look at all the traumas we've been through. We look at all of the tragedies, all of the tribulations and struggles, and all of the sins and the years and wayward wanderings, and wondering where God was all that time. If we could rewind after being saved and begin to look with the eyes of the Spirit, I believe that we would see time and time and time again that God was reaching out to us, that God was calling to us, that God was sending His Son Jesus to us. But time and time again, we pulled the shoulder away, as the prophet said, and turned our back on those opportunities and moved on down the road deeper and deeper into darkness. Peter's message that day was powerful and anointed and on point. And the Bible says it struck the people right in the heart, cut them to the heart. And so while he was preaching to them, that God opened their minds and they began to comprehend the terrible consequences of killing Jesus. Hallelujah. You might kill your neighbor. You might kill your enemy. You might kill somebody in war. You might kill for different and various reasons. And you might find forgiveness. You might be found guilty. You might be put in prison. The family might forgive you. But what are you going to do when you kill Jesus? Their response to Peter's preaching was a guilt-tinged, terror-filled question. What shall we do? Almost asked to Peter rhetorically, it's too late now. What shall we do? It's too late. How can we reverse time and fix our mistakes? I'm glad today to know that God doesn't just point out all our mistakes and leave us all condemned and in an emotional and spiritual turmoil. But He also has the solution to the problem. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You broke it, but God knows how to fix it. Somebody else broke you, but God knows how to fix you today. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to know that there is an answer to the question, how do I fix the worst mistake that I have ever made? Peter preached to them the solution. Jesus was the solution to their problems. And even though that they missed Him as soon as they recognized their mistake, and as soon as they turned to Jesus and asked God for help, then God brought them the help that they had been missing out on to begin with. And in response to their question, Peter gave these timeless instructions. Simple, to the point, but effective.
Yeah.
There is three things Peter commanded them to do to get forgiveness for their sins and to get right with God. Amen. The prophets preached it of old. Amen. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness preaching it. And Jesus came down off of the mountain preaching it after 40 days of fasting and being tried and tempted there. And they all preached this same message. Amen. The first command is to repent. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
Hallelujah. Repenting is having a dramatic change of heart and speaking out loud to God your sins and your intention to change how you've been living and acting towards Him. It don't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be eloquent. You don't have to understand the deep things of God to repent. All you need to know is that you feel the pain of mistake and you realize the sins that you have committed and you just cry out to God, help me. It can just be as simple as that. It was the shortest prayer in the Bible that Peter, as he was walking on the water and looked at the waves, got his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. And he cried out, Jesus, help me. Amen. Repentance don't have to be complicated. You don't have to be a churchgoer and have been to Sunday school and know who all the characters and pivotal parts of the story. All you need to know is that Jesus is the answer. Call out to Him for help. He will come and save your soul and turn Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Peter was telling them, it's time. Everybody say it's time.
It's time.
He was telling them it's time to evacuate the old mentality. It's time to leave behind the old animosity and hate. It's time for a total attitude and belief makeover. It's time to stop hating God and taking out your anger and pain on His Son Jesus. It's time to confess. Amen. It's time to admit to God and to yourself that the life you are living is not only wrong, but it's evil on every level. It's called the book of Acts. And the A stands for admit. Yes. You were wrong. Hallelujah. Even your supposed religious fanaticism is just another cover-up for your nasty demonic disposition. These people Peter preached to were the most devout of the Israelites that existed and lived on the earth at that time. Amen. But their fanaticism was just a cover-up. Jesus said to them, on the outside you are painted and you look so nice and white, but on the inside you are full of bones. You're nothing more than a tomb decorated with flowers on the outside, but on the inside there's nothing but dried up skull sitting there. Amen. And so he preached to them, repent instead of doubling down on the hate and pulling back even deeper into your shell of darkness. You need to come out into the light and let God fully expose your sick deeds instead of pointing fingers at everyone else and going down the normal list of disgusting excuses and falling back on your faulty logic. It's time to give yourself a chance at a better life. It's time to give God a chance to show you a way to live that is thousands of times better than the one you have been living. Amen. God wants to give you a chance. It's time to repent. It's time to stop making God out to be the bad guy and own up to our faults and failures. It's time to start living this thing called life and start your relationship to this person called God. Amen. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. I believe it's a simple thing to do. Doesn't take very long. Can happen. Amen. In a private prayer closet in your home. It could happen at an altar here at a church somewhere on a Sunday morning service. All you have to do is own up to it and confess it and admit it. And then the process, God will begin in your life. Change you. Everything about you forever. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time. Brother Gilbert looked at Sister Deborah with a knowing look. And then Peter goes on. And once you fully and sincerely repented, Peter commands them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Peter was telling them it's not enough to simply admit their wrongs, but then they must commit themselves to living a different life. He was telling them it's time to not just bury the hatchet, but to bury everything to do with your old life. It's time to not just be set free from the power and stranglehold of sin, but to be totally cleansed from every single last stain. It's time to be washed and scrubbed clean from the countless stains on your heart. It's time to immerse yourself in the waters of baptism. It's time to identify yourself with the one who died on Calvary. It's time to take His name as your new identity instead of taking His name in vain. It's time for the old man to go down into the water and be buried with Jesus in His tomb. And it's not enough to admit you were wrong about some things, but it's time to admit you were wrong about everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's not enough to have all your wrongs brought out into the open, but you got to put your words into action. That's why it's called the book of Acts. You got to put your newfound faith in God and your budding love for Jesus into action. Amen. You got
and readily and with alacrity enter into a pact with God. It's not a time to just repent, but it's also a time to commit. A is for admit, and C is for commit. Hallelujah. You haven't acted. Amen. Admitting is the first step, but committing is the second step. It's a time to let God know and to let the world know that now I belong to heaven. Now I have joined the family of Jesus Christ. And now it's time to transfer my name out of those other books and put it in the book of life. It's time to begin to let God rewrite the story of your life. Amen. Yes, you're the same person, same experiences, same personality, same traumas, same mistakes. Amen. But God wants to turn it all around. He wants to put His spin of righteousness on everything and anything that has ever touched your life and whatever and whoever your life has touched in return. Hallelujah. And then Peter goes on from there. So we've got to admit and repent.
Amen.
We've got to commit and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, where God supernaturally cleanses our hearts. Repentance breaks the chains of sin off of our life. It breaks the hold the devil has off of you. Why is it when we repent of our sins and we cry tears of sorrow before God and we open our heart to Him and call out to Him that we feel so much better when we get up out of that altar? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus has broken the chains of sin and the influence and the power that the world and the devil and your own flesh has had on you all these years, keeping you pinned down, pinned up, and tortured and tormented every day of your life. And then after we admit and repent and then we commit in the waters of baptism, baptism is a cleansing of our soul. A deep scrub of the Holy Ghost deep down into our hearts, where God reaches in and He begins to change some things that are inside of you. The prophet said, I will write my laws on their hearts. And then Peter finally directs them to expect to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Would your neighbor say it's time? Amen. And this is what a lot of churches do, but God doesn't intend to do that. We see people get prayed and they repent, and we rush into the waters of baptism, and then we leave them to hang out and dry. But God is not doing that, and He will not do that to you. Amen. He's not going to stand back and expect you to figure out how to do everything right after having lived your entire life doing almost everything wrong. Now, those that have been in the church for 30 years might expect you to figure it out overnight. Yes, everything has changed. Yes, all things have passed away. The old has passed away and the new has come. But an apple tree don't bring apples. Amen. The first day that its seed sprouts from the ground, it don't bring apples the second year. Not even up to the 10th year sometimes that it takes. Amen. There's a process of growing. There's a process of changing. There's a process. Jesus called His disciples and worked with them for 3 years.
Yes.
God's not going to leave you to hang out to dry. Peter explained to them, amen, that it's time for the old demon energy that coursed through your mind and heart, the old demons who had blinded and dragged you around by a chain hooked to the ring in your nose. It's time for those things to be driven out. It's time for a new energy to surge through every circuit in your human body. It's time to let God open your eyes and show you the world for real. It's time for your eyes to be opened and become aware of the spiritual battle battle lines formed up between the armies of heaven and hell. It's time to receive a new commission, a new membership into the army of God. Amen. It's time to hear a new voice speaking into your head and into your heart. Instead of trying to be in control or being manipulated, it's time to let God take control of your life.
Amen.
It's time to break from the old passions and desires and all the dead-end lusts and pleasures and sins that your stinking carnal mind and your nasty flesh craved and chased after for so long. It's time to tap in to receive the power and love and joy that comes from heaven. Instead of choking out hateful epithets and choking on destructive habits of the world, it's time to breathe in the fresh air of God's Holy Spirit. It's time to let the rushing mighty wind of God's righteous presence flow into you like a breath of fresh, clean air. And then finally, everybody say it's time. And then finally you can truly begin to live your life. Amen. Then instead of turning the troubles and trials of life into broken relationships and painful addictions, you can learn and lean on God as He teaches you how to live the right way and the best way. Amen. Hallelujah. Sounds simple enough, right? Amen. It is easy. It's easy to fix the worst mistake you've ever made in your life. It's easy to fix a life that you have lived squandering your time and resources. It's easy to change from living a life as the enemy and hater of God to becoming His friend and Him become your friend.
Yes.
And everything to turn around. And so Peter went on to answer a question then that they were not asking. They wanted to know what to do, how to fix their mistake with killing Jesus, the Messiah. And Peter answered their question, but he also answered a nagging doubt that all of us struggle with. Am I worthy? Is this for me? Or is it only for other people with the right name and the right background who can say the right words and do the right things? Yeah. Does God really care about me?
Yeah.
Who is this promise of forgiveness and receiving the Holy Spirit for? Peter let them know beyond the shadow of any doubts that the promise was for them and for their children and even to those who are far off, both in location and in time, even to anyone God chooses to call to Himself. How do I know if God is calling to me? If you're sitting in this building today, God is calling to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Why would He do that? Because our Heavenly Father cares about you.
That's right.
He loves you. And it pains Him to see you struggling pointlessly in the world.
That's right.
And living short of His plan for your life. Because God has a plan for all of our lives.
Right.
So that means that this promise is for us. That means that this promise is for you. It's for right now. Amen. Just as soon as you're ready to change, God is ready to take you in.
Yeah.
Let's stand together today. I've already been up here 30 minutes, and I think that's long enough for the message to get across. What a beautiful service we had today. Brother Gilbert was like a poor little puppy dog stuck in the crate all day waiting for his master to come home and let him out. He was wagging his tail and panting and licking the hands of the Lord today, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Did
Did you know that's what the root word behind worship in the New Testament, that word worship in the Greek, the root word means as a dog licks its master's hands. Well, Brother Gibber was wound up today. Good to be out, isn't it, Brother? The hardest thing about this whole entire pandemic, besides getting the COVID, is being on quarantine. And even though I walked in the woods every day, it really left me in a funk that was hard to break out of. Hallelujah. Also added a few pounds to my waistline, too. COVID fat is a real thing. And you think, Brother Rob, you say that as if. Well, friend, let me tell you something. When you've been the same weight for 50 years of your life.
That's wow. Because you're 50.
It's because you turned 50. God wants to change our lives.
Yes, he does. That's right.
You know, I mean, let's just face it, folks. The world hates you. Mother Earth hates you. She's trying to kill you every day. Hurling lightning bolts at you. Trying to blow trees down on top of you. Trying to shake your house loose until it falls on top of you. This is not a pleasant world at times to live in. Yes, there is beauty, but you better watch that beauty. The most beautiful bugs in creation can kill you with one bite. The most beautiful mushrooms in the forest will poison you and kill you with one bite. You're going to go through hard times. Life is going to be extremely unpleasant and painful, no matter where you stand on this planet. And you can either go through all of that by yourself, wondering if anybody cares, or you can go through that with God in your heart.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And have Him explaining things. And have Him lifting up your spirits and encouraging your hearts along the way. And giving you understanding and blessing you and putting His grace and favor. I don't know about you, but I love walking and living in God. It's time today to put Jesus in charge of your life. It's time today to remember that indeed it is Jesus in charge of your life.
Yes.
Just as soon as you feel the truth pierce your heart, cut you. Just as soon as you feel the pain and conviction over the life you're living. The time is right then. For some of us here today, the time could be right now.
Yes.
The Bible doesn't say that everyone who heard Peter's message believed and obeyed and received. But it does tell us that those who received his preaching were baptized, and they were added to the church about 3,000 souls. God wants to add people to his church. All we need to do is follow these simple instructions. Admit, repent, confess. Commit in waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And then let God transmit the power and the love that He has through the Holy Spirit, putting it into your heart and into your life. Admit, commit, and then God will transmit the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't have anything for us, so you'll have to put that in yourself. As we bow our heads together, I want to invite you to come. Step out and say, God, I'm ready to live a different life. God, I'm ready to put you in charge. God, I'm ready to break the chains of all these other things that have controlled my life, and I'm ready to live free. for you. Let's close our eyes as they sing and pray. And let's come and let's imagine this time what it's going to be like when Jesus comes in to our lives.